Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. That's where you'll find more than 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. That's audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of Blondie cartoonist Dean Young, Tampa Bay. Okay, you ready? Things I learned about Rhymes with Orange syndicated cartoonist Hillary Price by reading her blog. She wears a size 40 shoe, by Euro measures. She went to Cuba with several cartoonists recently. The trip was organized by Jeannie Schultz, widow of Peanuts cartoonist Charles Schultz. And while she was gone that week, rather than work ahead on her daily strip, she asked Mo Willems to fill in. She has a fluffy white cat named Seltzer. And every November, she opens her Florence, Massachusetts studio to the public. What I didn't need her blog to tell me about Price, she is a huge favorite of professional cartoonists and is probably better known among them than she is among the general public. She is esteemed for her humor and style. Hillary Price, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. Mr. Media.
Hillary, you can call me Bob.
Mr. Bob Media. How's that? Mr. Bob Media, sir.
Mr. You know what? That'll even work better. I like this. I like where this is going. By the end of 30 minutes, you'll be having all your syndication payments sent right to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I pushed it too far. Sorry.
Yeah, Bobby.
Oh, no. No, now it's too familiar. Oh, man. Well, I don't know where to go from there. I'm in a city where the local newspaper does not, unfortunately, carry Rhymes with Orange. And I have to tell you, Hillary, that for years, whenever I saw the strip, I didn't get the joke. I mean, I got the
you
Daily
and my
Gap.
Grandfather.
Well, oh, God, now I'm like your grandfather. See, this is it. I mean, I would get the gag, but I didn't get the title. And then one day,
you didn't get the title of the strip.
Yeah,
I thought you were
yeah.
just saying you didn't get the joke.
Oh no, I had no problem with the jokes.
All right, okay.
I think if I didn't get the jokes, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
All right. I take it back about my grandfather. He didn't get any of the jokes.
Really?
Well, that's okay. Moving on.
No. I want to hear about this. So he would read it, and, you know, being grandpa, he'd want to be supportive, but he just didn't get it, I guess.
Well, he would get some of them, but that was kind of his common refrain. His common refrain to my sister was, "When are you getting married?" Finally, she would say, "Any day now." So.
And his refrain to you is, "I just don't get it, Hill."
I read them every day, honey, but yeah. Thanks.
Is he the only family member who does not get it, or at least admits that he does not get it?
What do you mean admits? What is this? My mom and dad are very proud. My dad likes to call himself a cartoonist model now that he's retired.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I see. And are you going to fess up that anything has ever been modeled on your father?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
A friend of mine once called her dad a walking compendium of useless information. And I was like, that's my dad. Let me call him and tell him. So.
What were
you saying before I interrupted, go ahead.
Where the heck was I? Yeah, I was just saying that I would, you know, I'd be in a city and I'm one of those guys, well, being Mr. Media, of course, you know, you read the newspapers. I'd get a stack of newspapers and I'd see the strip. And I would read the gag, and then I'd go back to the title and go, what does that mean? Rhymes
mm-hmm.
with orange. Nothing seems to rhyme with orange. It took me, I don't know how long, and then I think I was on an airplane. I went, oh, I get it.
You know, I have a great story. I was talking to one of the salesmen from the syndicate that sells the sell strips internationally, and he was saying that if he were to try and sell the strip in Denmark, it would have to be called Rhymes with Pulsk in order for the joke to work, which means rhymes, which translates to rhymes with sausage. And then when I was in Cuba, I learned that this isn't as funny, but it would be rhymes with arbol, which is rhymes with tree, because that's the word in Spanish that doesn't rhyme.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I like rhymes with sausage, personally.
I think that's kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny how when you open up and you start doing something and then the world is exposed to it, all the things you learn about it that you thought that you didn't know that there were to learn. I mean,
yeah.
Rhymes with sausage, rhymes with that. How does the strip travel outside the United States?
It travels well in English-speaking countries. I think because I use a lot of wordplay, that's not gonna travel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So lucky, you know, there's a large English-speaking hegemony around the world. So, you know, thanks to imperialism, I've got a shot outside of North America.
And probably within your lifetime, that will not change. So that's good.
Right.
But,
otherwise,
yeah,
I'm against imperialism. But
it might be handy to keep on hand, however, a list of things that do not rhyme in Spanish and perhaps Chinese.
Yeah. Right.
So. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. How actually did you come up with the name of the strip?
Well, when I was, in middle school or something, I had this aunt that would get the New Yorker magazine, and I always loved the cartoons, and she was a big word maven. And at one point when I was over at her house, she told me that nothing rhymed with the word orange. And I just liked that. You know, it just kind of stuck in the back of my head. So many years later, fast forward, when it comes time to name the strip, you know, what do you do? What's it going to be? And I just kind of pulled that one out of the back stacks and said, well, how about this? And that was my only suggestion, and my editor liked it. So I went, phew, I don't have to work anymore. I think that's kind of a theme with me. I realized in college that anything past an 8-page paper was too long, and I think that I really enjoy the shortness of comics.
Hmm.
Seems to, like, I don't know if I could ever do a long narrative, because after 6 inches of space, I run out of things to say.
So there's not a graphic novel dying to get out of you?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Drawing's too hard.
And did, from day one, has it always been intended to be a non-continuing strip? Did you ever think about, you know, dropping in a recurring character or?
I think that I've always been drawn to single panel strips, to simply drawn single panel strips, like Roz Chast in The New Yorker, or Sam Gross.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my head was. I think that I kind of have a recurring, you know, set of characters that come in, but they don't have a name because mm-hmm. they're all named Hillary or Dad. But I think that in terms of characters, by not having, I think that there are two types of strips out there. You've got the strips with characters, and they create a world, and people kind of dive in, kind of like mm-hmm. Alice Through the Looking Glass. And then you've got another set of strips, the single panel ones, where that Alice doesn't dive through the looking glass. The looking glass reflects back at the world that we are in. And so
mm-hmm.
ideally, the characters in the strip are ourselves.
Hmm. And do you, I mean, do you look at, you know, other strips that have those continuing characters and think, oh, how constrained they must be by, you know.
Oh, no, I'm jealous of them, actually.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I don't tend to think in characters. But mm-hmm. The reason that I'm jealous is that characters have, that's just a character flaw, but they have this list of traits, character traits. And so when you can make a joke off of their character, so, you know, if I say the word Lucy to you, you already have this whole bundle of preconceived ideas about what Lucy's going to be like. And so I think that that can be helpful in trying to come up with a joke. And I think that the other reason that I'm jealous, oh, no, there are, now I'm coming up with two reasons that I'm jealous. So the second reason that I'm jealous is that there's a story to be had throughout the week. And so the Monday strip starts off the story, and then you get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you can have a whole arc of a story without having, you know, having to make up something each day. And then the third reason I'm jealous is plush toys. Because you can have a plush toy of Snoopy, and there's going to be no plush Rhymes with Orange toy unless I come up with a character. So darn it.
I remember shortly after I had Stefan Pastos was on the show, and shortly after mm-hmm. that, he announced, even he was able to announce a line of plush toys for Rat and Pig, and, you know, it really does, it really does open things up that way.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
have you,
I want to kill him.
Everybody wants to kill Pastos. have you...
Get in line, right.
Yeah, right. Have you thought about maybe cheating it a little bit and bringing a character in and out a bit just to kind of test the waters? And then if you felt like you had something, spin off?
I did that. Oh, for a second strip?
Yeah.
I'm too devoted to recreation to do a second strip. So.
At least you admit it.
Yeah. No, I don't believe in working all the time. I feel like the strip gives me plenty of work. I just can't see myself doing a Joni Loves Chachi spinoff of the strip. So, but maybe I'll call it Mr. Media.
Hey, you know, for a fee, it's a registered trademark. I'm sure we could work something out that would be mutually beneficial.
Exactly, and at the beginning of this interview, you were talking about getting all of my royalties sent to you. You are sneaky.
I are. That's true, I are. now, you do something else. You do the captionary feature. Now, is that...
Oh, yeah.
Is that, I mean, how much of your time does that take?
Oh, not too much. That's fun, because the work is left up to somebody else.
Because other people have to come up with the captions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is that like doing an eighth Rhymes with Orange a week? Because it's different.
Oh no, it's not as regular. The captionary piece isn't as regular. So.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's just something fun that happens every so often.
Oh.
But wouldn't it be great if it could be just you could give somebody the joke like. I don't know. And my dad said no would be the joke, and then everyone has to draw the picture.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. I think I'd like that even better, even less work.
How long have you been doing captionary?
Oh, it's only been going for like a year or so. King Features launched the idea.
And I guess it's mostly online?
Yeah, it's online. It's online.
Oh, okay.
I love the name. I think it's really cute.
Yeah, it sounds like a game show waiting to happen.
Hey. I don't know whether I want to be Vanna White or Pat Sajak.
Why not be both?
Why not be both?
magic of Avatar. You could be both. Yeah. Well, okay, let's go back to
Avatar.
What inspires you, other than your father, on a day-to-day basis, to come up with something funny? I mean, I have a lot of cartoonists on the show. Pastis was on, Mort Walker's been on, Ray Billingsley's been on, the trio that produced Zits and Baby Blues, they were all on together, and Mark. I'm sorry, Mark, I'm forgetting.
Tutuli?
He does Leo.
Yeah,
Tutuli. Thank you.
Yep.
We've had a lot of cartoonists on, and that's the thing that I'm always most impressed with, that you guys and girls are able to sit down and come up with material day to day to day. I think that's astonishing.
Well, I can give you some things that I do to get cartoon ideas.
Please.
Because when I do talks, that's what people want to know. So here are a few of them. So first of all, I do, like you, I sit down with a stack of newspapers and read. And I'm not so much reading for specific event as I am reading for topic. So I'll read everything from the international thing all the way down to the coupon circulars. And if there's some little bit in there, some interesting thing that pops up, I'll just write it down and then go back to it later to brainstorm. The second thing is usually happens when I'm trying to do the first thing, and that is that my cat will jump up and, get paw prints all over the paper and demand attention. And so the dog and the cat are certainly sources of inspiration. So that would be kind of way number two, which is interruption of way number one. And then around Wednesday or Thursday, I've got a Friday deadline, things are feeling more desperate. And so I learned this game that I picked up from reading a BC, Johnny Hart BC interview, and I call it the justification game, where you go down, you fold a piece of paper lengthwise, and then on the left-hand side of the page, you write down an occupation or an animal. And so you might write 10 random things down the left side of the page, like bear, monkey, dentist, duck kind of thing, chiropractor. And then on the right-hand side of the page, not looking at the left-hand side of the page, you write down 10 occupations or props. So it turns like into a clue game. What's the hippo doing with a candlestick in the dentist office? And then you try and justify, some part of that, and that can be a jumping-off point for other ideas.
Okay.
So, those are three main things. And then, people will say funny stuff, like friends, and I'll go, hey, I think there's a seed there. Can I try and turn this into a cartoon? And they'll go, oh, yeah. And so no matter if it's a seed or I'll just write thanks so-and-so in the corner. And I found that to be really fun because it's a way to make it a more community event. So, somebody might email me and say, oh, I had a Rhymes with Orange moment, which is wonderful. and I think it also, I think it kind of busts, it's more fun for me, too, and it kind of busts the myth that I think exists that creativity is like a light coming down from the sky and burning jokes into your head. I wish for it to be a slightly more collaborative process. Mm. So I like the back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you, I when you do something like this show, of course you have to research. And so I'm forced to go back and read comic strips in this case. And I have to tell you that, I guess it's the last 30 days or so, I went back, the one I loved, and it was just so good. It's February 11th, and folks, you can go back and see this on Hillary's site, at least for the next few days, rhymeswithorange.com. It's the February 11th strip. It was Men, Women, and Sport.
I loved this.
A couple is sitting on the couch watching TV, and she says, I hope you don't mind me giving away this.
No, please.
She says, "Why alligator wrestling?" And he says, "Because, honey, you can't box them. Their arms are too short." It's just, that's like, yeah.
I
love that.
I'm so glad, because I had a great time with that one. Every Tuesday, I meet my buddy Jeff at Smith College. We live right nearby, and so we go to one of the conference rooms, and we both do writing projects. And one of the things, he's this really interesting mix of likes yoga and also was a sports editor at the Boston Globe for a long time. And so he's been doing this blog on mixed martial arts. And I was saying, tell me about this. This sounds kind of interesting. And he was saying that a long time ago, mixed martial arts, before it became such a popular form, you'd get a boxer going into the ring with a taekwondo guy. And so they had really different skills. And it made for an interesting fight because you know, one guy was about kicking and another guy was about punching type of thing.
Right.
And now that it's become more an accepted medium, the boxer learned how to kick and the taekwondo guy learned how to punch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've kind of evened out their skills. And so the boxing and the wrestling conversation, because of this blog post that he was doing about how the whole mixed martial arts has changed over the years, brought about that joke.
It's a great gag. I recommend it for people who are curious about the strip who maybe don't see it or don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great. I love that. That's all. I just wanted to say.
Thanks.
Well, my pleasure. Now, I don't want too much time to go by because I want to ask you about Cuba. You took this cartoonist retreat with Jeannie Schultz, probably
mm-hmm.
the most famous cartoonist spouse in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How did this come about?
She had gone in 2004, and then shortly after that, things closed down with Cuba. Cuba is this dynamic diplomatic thing where sometimes restrictions get buckled down, and now in this, and especially in the previous administration, and now things are opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
So she had gone, and she's a real dynamo, and I think one of her strengths is where her creativity lies is in pulling people together and having people meet other people. And so she'd been checking in with the person that organized the trip, and come 2009, he said, okay, actually restrictions have opened back up from the U.S. side, and we could do it. And so she asked a couple people from Creative Studios, which is Charles Schulz's studio in Santa Rosa, to join, and she asked me to join, and then she asked Tom Richmond to join, who's the Mad Magazine cartoonist who does all the caricatures of all the movie.
Of course.
Yeah, he's great. And then also another cartoonist. And so we went over there, and hold on a second. I've got to close the door because my phone is ringing and because I can't do two things at once.
That's okay.
So we went over there, and we had organized it. We met some cartoonists from the newspaper, from a humor magazine, from a graphic design school, from the Cuba animation house that they have down there. And so it was a really, and in addition to doing that, we did some of the tourist stuff, like visit the cathedral, visit the Museum of the Revolution. And it was this really nice mix of having personal interactions and then also seeing Havana from a more historical point of view. And it was this nice marriage of the two, because we got to hear people's stories and then see how that reflected in the kind of history from the history book.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were some really interesting and talented cartoonists down there. And, you know, we touched on imperialism a little bit earlier, and it was interesting to me to see how the United States was, what were the symbols of the U.S., because they were either a Coke bottle, a Mickey Mouse ears, or Uncle Sam. And they were just as much a Coke bottle and Mickey Mouse ears as they were Uncle Sam. So it's interesting that kind of a non-governmental, like, media symbol could be as powerful as Uncle Sam.
That is interesting. And were you, you know, did you ever feel, you know, strange about being there, considering the history of the two countries all these years? I mean, I know Americans have been going there, you know, have been finding their way there, Canadians certainly, for years, but it's still not a common travel spot.
No, I felt very lucky, and also I got a sense from being there what a complicated history it is of the place. And while Fidel Castro came to power in 1959, that's not when all of the governmental struggles between in Cuba began. That it began, you know, it's one of those things where you can trace back to the Spaniards coming to Cuba and the slave trade there, and then a lot of stuff happening after the Industrial Revolution, and then things really starting to heat up in the 1900s, and then the back and forth of dictatorships and coups and who sold out to gangsters in the 30s and stuff like that. And then I got an amazing history lesson. So by the time when Fidel first came to power, he was considered a kind of progressive darling of the United States. And then when he started to nationalize everything, of course, the relationship grew very sour. Mm-hmm. But he was getting rid of this total shyster of a dictator, Bautista, who came before. So, I mean, what's
right.
interesting is I didn't know anything about this, really, before I went over there. And now I'm no Cuba expert, but it's interesting to hear what life is like.
Will you go back?
If I get the opportunity, sure. Sure, I'd like to see other parts of the country. I mean, I just saw Havana, which is like saying you've seen California if you've just seen San Francisco.
Right,
I mean, there's just,
right.
It's a varied country.
And unfortunately, we're going to run out of time in a minute or
so,
but I have to ask you, why, and I teased about this in the opening, why not just work a week ahead on this trip? Why turn it over to Mo Willems the week that you were going to be traveling?
A couple reasons. First is it's really difficult to work double the time. It takes me a week to do a week. And so to either try and do half of it before I left and half of it when I got back, I felt like I really wouldn't be able to enjoy myself or be in the moment while I was in Cuba. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is Mo Willems lives in my town, and we're pals. And and he has done pretty much every cartooning thing under the sun, and yet has not done a newspaper strip. And so I said, Mo, I'm going away for this week. Would you like to take over the strip? And he totally fell for it. So... So it worked out really well, and it was fun. You know, it was fun to do something different. And I actually have done guest cartoonists in the past. One time when I was getting married or that kind of thing. So I do feel like it's difficult for me to get ahead or to catch up and then enjoy myself while I'm there.
Sure. Well, I assume it was the kind of thing, too, where you have a certain rhythm for getting it done, and to suddenly have to do double the work in a short period of time would disrupt that rhythm, whereas taking a vacation actually probably wouldn't, strangely enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
well,
it was a kick, you know, it was a kick to share the spot and to talk to him about it. It just goes back to wanting to enjoy it with other people.
I understand.
So.
Well, folks, listen, you can read Hillary Price's wonderful daily comic strip, Rhymes with Orange, whether you get the joke or not, in newspapers everywhere but St. Petersburg, Florida. However, you can, even here in St. Pete, We can see it online at rhymeswithorange.com. There's usually a 30-day supply. You can mm-hmm. read back there. And you can conveniently order collections of her work on MrMedia.com, as well as I'm sure she has them on her site and elsewhere. Hillary, it was a lot of fun to talk to you today. I look forward to getting my share of your royalties in the days to come. And thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed myself. I'll come back anytime.
That'd be great. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite comic book, comic strip, and graphic novel artists and writers, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Tom Wilson, Josh Neufeld, Patrick McDonald, Ray Billingsley, Jerry Scott, Rick Kirkman, Jim Borgman, John Rosenberg, Stefan Pastis, Mark Tatulli, there's the guy's name, Mort Walker, Dennis Kitchen, Drew Friedman, Dave Gibbons, Joe Sinnott, Howard Cruz, Mark Chiarello, Freddie Williams, Gene Colan, and many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media to get a free audiobook download of your choice for more than 75,000 titles in stock when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.